I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
What's up, Cougar fans? Oh, what could have been on a beautiful day in September. 60 degrees and sunny in New York. BYU could have been visiting the Black Knights of Army on the banks of the Hudson River on national TV. The eyes of the nation upon those two ranked teams. But instead, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to disrupt and change the way we live our lives. Mitch, we would have preferred to be getting ready for that battle of top 25 teams, but instead we're back on the air, and although I'd rather be watching that game, I am happy to be with you again, Mitch, for another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Matt, and happy Saturday to you. Hope all of you listening appreciate you joining us this Saturday afternoon and making your Saturday's a part with us here, so we're going to take you all the way up to 3 o'clock. We got a jam-packed show, as always. But, yeah, it's a bummer that BYU and Army is not going to be playing because the Cougars ranked number 21 in the country, Army ranked number 22, and it's unfortunate, but it's the challenges that COVID-19 is posing. It's fascinating to see what's happening in the college football landscape right now where you got some games like BYU and Army getting postponed. Houston, Baylor, which was scheduled a week ago, that gets postponed. But then at the flip side, Big Ten Conference is returning. Pac-12 Conference close to returning. Mountain West Conference even maybe going to be returning. So a lot of wild stuff going on in college football right now. We actually do have some live games taking place, and we'll check in on some of those. So some BYU opponents are in action right now. So we'll have an eventful day today, but it is a little bit of a bummer, Matt, that we're not having BYU and Army as the big focal point on the field. Yeah.
Later in the show, we'll shift gears to BYU hoops. There was a new basketball commit to the BYU program. We'll catch up with him. We're going to have Mark Durant on from the BYU Basketball Network. He's going to talk some BYU basketball with us as well. So good show planned, but of course, we do want to start with that postponed game. The news broke shortly after last week's show here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch, maybe you can rewind the clock a week. When did you first hear about positive COVID-19 cases down in Provo, Utah? And what did you initially think would happen leading up to that official announcement of the postponed game from BYU and Army?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of buzz on Saturday afternoon during our show last week. And, you know, there was rumblings that BYU had a handful of guys test positive for COVID-19, and sure enough, that's what ended up happening, and BYU and Army get shut down, and BYU noted in their press release that it was a small number of cases, but there was some rumblings that Friday night, the players were not available in practice due to COVID. They were in isolation because they tested positive, and some guys had to be in quarantine because of contact tracing. So that's what ultimately ended up happening, and it's nothing that would have been overwhelming to the point where BYU doesn't have enough guys to fill the team. If this game was played in Provo, we'd be talking about a BYU and Army game today. We probably wouldn't be on the air. It would be pregame leading up to the Cougars and the Black Knights. But the state of New York has some strict travel restrictions and made it very challenging for BYU and Army to play this weekend. And, you know, two cases is considered an outbreak. In the state of Utah, there's a travel restriction from the state of New York for this state. So it's there was a lot of things stacked against it. And quite frankly, Matt, I'm surprised that Army has even been able to play any games to this point with how strict the state of New York has been in regards to COVID-19 with some of their travel restrictions. So it's a bummer, but you know, BYU has to move forward, and I don't think this is a nail in the coffin on the season. I think BYU will continue to move forward, and I think 1 week from now we'll be talking about BYU playing a game on next Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's more than just a bummer. I think it's not quite devastating, somewhere between bummer and devastating. I remember when I heard the news, I was just completely deflated. And I agree with you. It's not going to derail the season. It's not the end of the world. But this was the last currently announced big football game left on this schedule. And a tremendous opportunity being on CBS in that 1:30 Mountain Time time slot to play a ranked team. And had they beaten Army, I think they would have been a top 15 team. And they could have carried that ranking through the return of the Big Ten, maybe the return of the Pac-12. And if they would continue to win in convincing fashion through the rest of their schedule, they would have been in a good position to have a good bowl game. Maybe not quite good enough with those two conferences returning to get to the New Year's Six, but they would have had a great chance to be undefeated. And you'd have those two wins against Navy and Army on national stages to kind of parlay you through the rest of the season. That game being canceled is the wrong word, it's postponed, but I don't expect this game to be replayed. Based on everything you're hearing from Army's head coach and from their athletic director, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Even Kalani kind of wondered, hey, this should be easy. Earlier in the week when he spoke with the media, this should be easy to get this game rescheduled. We got openings at the end of the year. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm crossing my fingers it does, but to lose out on an opportunity to play on national TV where there's not that many marquee games, it's painful. It's hard to get over, and the BYU football team will have to get over it. And I hope the game gets rescheduled, but it was certainly deflating. Not just because it's Army. I mean, Army's undefeated. They've had some nice performances against so-so teams at best here in the 2020 season. But just the stage and the opportunity, you don't get those kind of opportunities very often, and it's just a bummer. Bummer on many levels that the game was not being played today.
You mentioned Kalani Sitake. This was Kalani earlier this week discussing what went into the reasoning why this Army game ultimately was postponed.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to play the game against Army this weekend, but looking into everything that we've had, and just want to express to everybody that I have a lot of confidence in our sports medicine department and our administration and the decision-making process that they go through. On our flight to Navy, we had tested, and everyone on that plane, on that chartered flight, tested negative. And so on our return, we were able to test our guys and had a small number of positives. And because of that, with all the different variables involved, because of the travel, you can imagine all the people that we had to connect with, and got a lot of feedback from all these different separate entities. And after looking into it more and hearing from all the various groups, our administration and sports medicine department decided to postpone. It would be the responsible thing to do, and be the right thing to do as a partner to Army, knowing that all the complications that come into, especially with COVID, especially in the travel, there's a lot of different variables involved. And so you could think about things like travel, food, transportation, all those different things that come into play, and then who you have to talk to, and the groups that you involve in and decision-making process, hearing their feedback from states to city to county to health departments, and taking that all the information in, we felt like this was the right move to do, is to postpone the game.
I will say this, Mitch. I commend BYU for postponing the game. I don't think it's easy as you're playing these games. And BYU knew the CBS game, Army, big opportunity. They wanted to play this football game. It could not have been easy to postpone this game due to COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic. But I commend them for doing it. Kalani, during his press conference earlier in the week, kept using, hey, we want to be responsible. And I just think that's something that we all can learn from this unfortunate postponement of the game. But we all got to be responsible amidst the pandemic. I mean, you don't want to lose these football games, but it's a bummer. It hurts. I want to play that football game. But this, I think, was the right move to do considering the circumstances.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it's a difficult situation right now where, again, as I was mentioning earlier, these conferences are starting to return. And you think back to the original schedule for BYU and think, man, why don't we just keep that schedule intact and kind of play it by ear, week by week,
yeah,
during the season? Because all these leagues now are coming back. Everyone's deciding, hey, we got to play football. We got to get that TV revenue, because we're looking around at our athletic departments and going, man, if we don't have a football season in the fall, we are going to have some severe cutbacks. So suddenly the science of COVID-19 has suddenly changed drastically to the point where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 could potentially play. It's a shame that we just don't even have that original schedule. It's unfortunate BYU has to play this 7-8-game schedule and try to and look at the Army game as saying, oh, man, that was the one opportunity that the Cougars had to maybe make a statement on the national stage. Because if you haven't checked today, Navy, the midshipmen, their first game back since playing BYU, the midshipmen are not looking very good. They're down 24-0 to Tulane in the third quarter. The midshipmen might be a mess this year. That doesn't take away from what happened on Labor Day night.
No.
But still, it's BYU crushed maybe a really bad football team back on Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Earlier in the week as well, some BYU football players spoke about the postponement. Here is center James Empey on the postponement of Army and BYU.
Yeah, everybody was super excited for Army, and I think we're still really excited for Army. We have a lot of faith that game will hopefully get rescheduled, and we'll still get to play those guys. We think they're a great team and have a great program, and you know, we're looking forward to it. And so in the moment, everybody's kind of bummed because, you know, we want to play that game, and we felt like we were on our way to having some pretty good preparation and getting ourselves dialed in for it. But then I think, you know, after that probably initial bummer, you know, of hearing about it, I think everybody was just positive and grateful that we still get to play football, and we started looking forward to the next game and looking forward to what we need to do to get back to playing football, whether, you know, whatever guidelines we've been given by, you know, sports medicine and the state, and, you know, everybody trying to keep us healthy and safe and responsible, you know what I mean? So I think first it was a bummer, but then everybody's just like, hey, we're going to play, and we get to play. And so let's stay positive, do everything we can, and we'll get that game later on the road.
James Empey has faith that the game will be rescheduled. How much faith do you have, Mitch, that this game will be rescheduled for later in the year?
I hate to be a negative Nancy, but, I mean, I got zero faith, Matt. I have zero faith because, I mean, there's two openings right now, November 28th and December 5th. Why doesn't Army just say, hey, you know, let's reschedule this thing and put it down on November 28th? It just feels like Army is content with their 11-game schedule because they still have 11 games. BYU is the one that's looking to add a few more and get closer to that 10, 11, 12-game mark. Army's not in that dire of straits. They've got 11 games. So I'm not optimistic. I don't think they're going to add a BYU team a few weeks before their critical rivalry game against Navy. I think the Black Knights are fine with what they've got. They wanted the BYU game to happen early in the month of September, but on the back end, I don't think they're going to have any desire to play BYU, which is a shame because this was the time that was going to be the first ever meeting between these two programs. And I know that BYU AD Tom Holmo has wanted Army for so many years. I remember when they had the game scheduled back in, I think it was like 07 or 08, and then Army abruptly canceled back then. It's a program that BYU's always wanted to play, but for whatever reason, it just can't happen. And the COVID-19 pandemic takes it away this time. We'll see it maybe 12 years from now if Army makes the return trip to Provo. We'll see what happens with that years from now. But, yeah, I have no faith, Matt, that this game is going to be played. And, honestly, that's okay. BYU's got to pick up the pieces and move forward from here.
I do see one scenario in which it gets played. Next week, Army plays Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 13 in the country. They're rolling through Austin Peay right now. If Army were to win that game, I think they'd easily be a top 15 team at the end of the week 4 polling. And then if BYU continues to win, I think they would say, hey, there's an opportunity here to play BYU, who may be ranked at the end of the season. If we get a win against BYU that's ranked, who knows? Maybe we get a New Year's Six bid from the AAC. So I don't think it's over yet, but it's looking slim. I don't anticipate that happening, but there is a world in which that game would then become compelling late in the year for Army.
Yeah, that would be really nice to see. And speaking of polling, we'll discuss the poll a little bit later in the show. Can BYU remain ranked this year? But coming up next, we'll talk about BYU's football schedule. They added a new team to the 2020 slate. Who is it? We'll talk about it next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back in Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte talking BYU football as always here on the program. And BYU, they're on a bye week this week, obviously due to the postponement of the Army game. But six of BYU's 2020 opponents are in action today. And one of those six teams was a new addition to the schedule earlier this week. The Louisiana Tech Bulldogs are going to be traveling to Provo coming up on October 2nd, Friday night, general conference weekend. BYU and La Tech squaring off for the first time in program history. Matt, do you like this matchup of adding La Tech in that Friday night general conference spot?
Yeah, I do. I like it. Any games added, I'm a fan of at this point. I mean, obviously, you'd love to have a Cincinnati or a UCF, yeah, or a Big 12. I mean, you look at the Big 12, geez, it's like they can't win a football game. Oklahoma State down Tulsa right now late in the third, 7-3. You'd love to have one of those games, but all things considered, I'm happy for the game. Louisiana Tech was a 10-win team last year, scored over 30 points a game, beat Miami in their bowl game at the end of the year. So they're a good football team, and I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah, and BYU and La Tech on Friday, October 2nd, will be a nationally televised game on ESPN2. It'll obviously be here on KSL News Radio as well, 7:30 kickoff. And they'll be playing tonight, Louisiana Tech against Southern Miss,
yep,
at 5:30 if you want to get a scouting report on the Bulldogs. But yeah, BYU schedule, they've added some games. They got Troy next week, and then they have La Tech. And then it's week after week you're seeing games. You got UTSA on October 10th, Houston on October 16th, but the Cougs, they had a game postponed today against Baylor. We'll see what happens with Houston's season. It seems like the city of Houston's been a little bit of a hot spot, and they just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to get their season off the ground. Houston has had to plan for four different season openers already. They just can't get it to work. But then October 24th, BYU plays Texas State. And then on Halloween, they face Western Kentucky, and then November 21st, North Alabama. So it leaves some openings in the month, yeah, of November for probably maybe an additional group of five team or so. But I got to say, Matt, I think that with BYU sitting at eight games right now, and then you see the Big Ten going to play eight games. They announced their schedule today. Eight games might end up being the sweet spot with where this schedule ends up.
Yeah, I think we got to remember, too, we're living in a pandemic still. I mean, yeah, it's easy to get disappointed. I'm certainly disappointed that BYU Army game's not getting played. I'd love to see better quality opponents, but no one's going to lose eligibility. And it'll be interesting to see, Mitch, which seniors roll it back. I hope Zane Anderson does. I want to see a seventh year. But which seniors roll it back for next year and which don't? So this is just kind of bonus football for a lot of people, and we got to keep that in mind when these announcements are being made and these games are being played, that, you know, this isn't ideal for anybody. Of course it's not, and we got to be thankful for the football we have. And I think Tommy McClelland, the athletics director, is thankful for this game as well. Here's what he had to say about that matchup announced earlier in the week.
First, you got to have a willing participant, right, in order to do it, whether it's in the future or whether it's immediate. You know, as devastating and disappointing as it was just to not be able to have that game against Baylor, I mean, listen, that's an opportunity that only comes around every now and then. Not the game against Baylor, but the opportunity on Fox. And when that didn't happen, it was so disappointing. But within just really a matter of hours, honestly, from that, we were already in discussions with BYU. and really got the deal done probably at the end of last week, but then got it finalized today. And it really has worked out for everybody. I mean, Baylor is now, as you've all seen, going to pick up Houston. And so that's good for them because, you know, they deserve that opportunity to play somebody before conference play. And then certainly for us in this deal where we get an opportunity to pick up a game with BYU, which will be a guarantee game. And typically, you know, it would be a home-and-home situation. But in this environment, we lost that money game, and they were willing to kind of step up and fill that void. And quite frankly, really help the situation. And so, you know, this is the first ever meeting, which I was kind of surprised of, between BYU and Louisiana Tech. It is going to be on Friday night. We do anticipate that game being picked up by a national network.
Sound courtesy of KNBB, that's Tommy McClellan, Louisiana Tech athletic director, discussing how the BYU game came to be. And it's interesting, Matt, it's a guaranteed game. BYU is willing to pony up some money to get some of these teams out here to Provo, because UTSA, that's a guaranteed game. Texas State is a guaranteed game. BYU's forking over some cash to make sure this schedule can take place.
My two takeaways from that sound are, number one, across the country in college football, these national TV games matter. He referenced their original matchup versus Baylor being a Fox game, and that's why this BYU-Army game, it stings, because it was going to be CBS, Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson. I mean, that matters. And number two, BYU, this narrative that they're difficult to work with, can it end? I just think that a matter of hours after that game, BYU is willing to help them out. And BYU has been phenomenal from everything you hear from Provo and the teams they work with, that they've been a great partner through this pandemic. I don't want to hear this narrative anymore that BYU demands this, they're difficult, all that. I think that's old news. I think BYU is easy to work with, and they're doing a great job helping teams out that need help during this pandemic.
So this is the last Saturday we'll see no BYU football until hopefully November. Hopefully no more games between now and November are postponed for BYU. So it's a schedule that poses an opportunity for BYU to remain ranked in the national top 25 polls. And that's what we'll get to next coming up here on Cougar Sports Saturday. As we take a break, we'll check in with Mark Jackson for a traffic and weather update here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Good news for BYU, the Navy midshipman, making it interesting. Better late than never, Mitch. They've scored 14 unanswered points to cut the Tulane Green Wave lead from 24 to nothing to 24 to 14. And that actually is kind of important, especially with BYU having been off for so long now. They're just out of sight, out of mind. Even today, I was watching College Game Day this morning, Mitch, and they talked about this new lane, this Tulane and Navy matchup, and BYU wasn't mentioned at all. I think they're slowly being forgotten in college football right now, and if Navy gets blown out, I mean, who knows what happens to BYU in the rankings, them being 1-0 and having not played in 2 weeks.
It's a good point, and I think that, you know, BYU, it feels like it's been a lifetime ago since they played that game. Holy cow. I can't believe how it just feels so long ago, last time BYU played in that game on Labor Day night. But it is important for Navy to show out well and hopefully maybe have a comeback and pull this thing off, because they start 0-2. Does it beg the question for the pollsters to say, hey, BYU thumped a really bad team? Now that the Big Ten's coming back soon, the Pac-12's coming back soon, potentially, you know, will the pollsters lead to BYU saying, hey, let's bump them? They only got in here because they thumped a bad football team. We gave them their 1 week of praise, but now they go outside the poll. So I think it's definitely an interesting outcome that we'll have to see how it plays out. But Navy, you know, showing a little bit of fight is a good thing for them, and maybe they can turn this thing around.
That brings us to our question of the day, and you can check this out at KSL Sports Twitter page. You can text us as well, 57500. We want to hear what you Cougar fans think about this question, which is, how long do you think the BYU football team will remain ranked in the top 25 this season? Right now they're at number 21. All season long is in the lead right now. Nearly 300 of you have voted so far at 42%. Halfway through the season is a choice, a few more weeks, and then they're not ranked next week. Mitch, we'll start with you. Where do you sit on BYU's status in the top 25?
I think they're going to be – I have a feeling they're not going to be ranked next week, Matt. I feel like with the Big Ten, because you got to think Ohio State's going to be added. They're going to be in there no matter what. They're one of the best teams in college football, and with the Big Ten having their schedule laid out, they're going to be inserted back into the mix. Penn State's going to be back in. I think BYU's going to get bumped and not be ranked next week, and then they'll have to kind of fight their way back to getting back into the top 25 conversation. So that's kind of where I'm feeling. What say you? I mean, I'm curious what you think on this. Am I just being negative right now?
It's remarkable how often we agree. I wish we disagreed more, Mitch. But and we didn't talk about this at all before the show. I voted for they're not ranked next week. I just think that there's some teams behind them that if they get wins, they're going to move up. And we've seen from the AP poll and the coaches poll that there's a willingness to move people, up and down the rankings based on a week where these conferences aren't in there. Louisiana's 19 right now, so I think there's a real opportunity. You look at some of the teams playing beneath them, and there's a serious opportunity here that they would get bumped out. I mean, there's a big game tonight with Appalachian State and Marshall. I mean, that could have ranking impacts. There are Baylor and Houston's postponed, so luckily Baylor was receiving some votes, so they're not going to move up without playing. But Pitt versus Syracuse, Pitt could move past them. Georgia Tech, they were to beat a ranked UCF team, they would move up. And then you just can't discount the fact that I think in life, more than ever, you remember what's fresh. You don't remember what happened so long ago. You just said it. That Navy game feels like it was months ago. It's like I need to go back and rewatch it to remember what happened. I know there was a beating, but it was so long ago. I think what's happening today is going to have a big impact, and I could see BYU falling out for sure.
The one argument I would say that's in favor of BYU is that you look around college football so far, Matt, and we watch a ton of it, you and I, and we watch any game that we possibly can. But one thing that we have seen and highlighted today with this Oklahoma State-Tulsa game, Oklahoma State's ranked number 11, not many teams are starting their season with just clicking on all cylinders. Like BYU is the only team, one of only a few teams, that has come out of the gates and just been fantastic in their opening game. I mean, a lot of the football we've seen to this point has been really sloppy. And I think the sheer dominance that BYU displayed in that game for those that were watching, I think that was probably noteworthy and impressive enough to maybe say they could remain. Now, I just look at the numbers and the type of teams that are going to be factored into the mix again. I think that the pollsters, they want to just give a lot of the benefit of the doubt to the Power 5 teams. I think it pained a lot of these pollsters to rank a Louisiana Lafayette number 19. It pained them to rank BYU 21 and Army 22 because what they've done over history, decades, they never do this. They never give the benefit to these group of five teams, but they were kind of forced to this year with the ranking that they received and the teams that have played to this point. But BYU's impressive style of play, like they dominated Navy. You knew Navy was a far inferior football team to BYU, and they treated a bad Navy team and handled them. So I think there's some value there, but I just think that when you get all these Big Ten teams into the mix again, the pollsters are going to want to throw them back into the fray and hype up for their sake, too. They want to create content that says, hey, coming up in October, number 3 Ohio State versus number 7 Penn State. Like that, I think that sadly plays a role in this type of stuff, too. So, unfortunately for BYU, I think they get on the outside looking in. But I think at a minimum, they're definitely receiving votes.
Hey, what's going to play a role, though, is Navy, man. They just forced a safety. They have cut the third quarters over 24-16. and Navy has the football at about midfield, things are going Navy's, which is significant. Because if Navy pulls off the win, you look at that blowout win, you say, hey, that maybe that win is a little better than we gave him credit for initially.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that would be nice. Because again, like this whole college football, like this sport is so weird in a normal year.
Yeah,
it's even more bizarre during a pandemic. Like there's just no rhyme or reason. I hope these pollsters just look at that dominance from BYU and go, that has to be respected because not many teams are just rolling on their opponents like BYU did. And
that's a good point.
And Navy. Having this little bit of a comeback gives me some hopes that maybe they could be a halfway decent team. Because I'll tell you, Matt, we've seen so many times BYU in opponents' seasons early in a year with a surprising loss or a defeat that just kind of mentally puts them in a bad state of mind. A couple of years ago, BYU took down an Arizona team, and that loss, I think, just sent Arizona spiraling, and they were terrible the whole year. So hopefully Navy picks it up and they can find a way to get this win. I think that would definitely help BYU maybe stay in that poll.
Well, there's also this unfair narrative in college football where there's just these knee-jerk reactions to one or two performances if Navy were to lose, you're like, they're horrible, and then they could go on and win seven or eight. I mean, Tennessee is a great example from last year, Mitch, where they lose to BYU and Georgia State. They're awful. Tennessee's horrible. That win's embarrassing. You look at the end of the year, you're like, dang, that's actually a pretty dang good win when it's all said and done. So that's why, I mean, it is what it is, though. When it comes to these ranking situations, Navy wins, I think BYU stays. Navy loses, they're probably out.
And I would stack up, you know, BYU's O-line against a lot of teams in college football this year. BYU's experience, that should be factored in. And I think that they got a little bit of star power at the quarterback position. I think a lot of people nationally are starting to become a little bit more aware of Zach Wilson. But this long layoff doesn't help matters for their case to stay in the top 25. But a win for Navy could definitely help and say, oh, you know, BYU beat a team that took down Tulane, who won 8 games last year and won a bowl game. So, again, it's just a weird sport to begin with. Like, we analyze and break down a sport that we just love. It's so great, but it's also just so strange and unusual the way we're talking about how these rankings are brought together. But that's how it goes down. I mean, it's the reality of what this sport is all about, and that's why I think in a weird, twisted way, that's why we all love it.
There's something I'm noticing in this game, too. Sorry, this is a little bit of a random tangent observation, which sometimes happens here on Cougar Sports Saturday. So Daylon Morris has been the quarterback today, which I bring that up because he got benched against BYU. And I love that he was benched in that game for Perry Morris, and then the next opportunity, he gets the start. And he's playing well, and he's doing a much better job than he did against BYU. Now, I think BYU is much better than Tulane, but I just love this idea that the quarterback position can be treated like other positions, where if you're not playing well, we're going to pull you, but that doesn't necessarily mean your job is gone. You just don't see that often in college football, where a quarterback gets yanked in a game and then he starts the next week and plays well. But I like seeing it, Mitch. It's just a little random observation there.
Yeah, it did help the fact that Perry Olson did go into the transfer portal. So that's why Daylon Morris reassumed that role. But that third string guy, too, for Navy, was factoring into the mix during their fall camp leading up to that BYU game. So I think that, you know, this season, if you can pull off games and you can somehow squeak out wins, however they come, you should be rewarded. And I hopefully for BYU, too, maybe there's a little bit of a sense of, man, you feel for those guys that they're even able to play this season and put together a schedule, because they lost pretty much all of it. They lost 10 of the 12 games, and maybe the pollsters look at that too and say, hey, they were still willing to put together a schedule and make this season work. Even though they're fighting COVID right now, they're willing to make it happen and pull this season off.
We got to get to a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, college football, it has been tumultuous, crazy, wild, you name it. It's probably been that word. And now the Big Ten is back. They announced their schedule, 8-game schedule. We'll react to the news that Big Ten football is back in 2020. Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. Navy football, baby. Let's go. Midshipman looking to tie the football game, Mitch, with a 2-point conversion opportunity. I did not think a month ago that I would be that into a Navy Tulane football game on September 19, 2020. I thought I'd be watching BYU and Army, but here I am, Navy, trying to tie up the football game, and they have done it. We are tied at 24.
I love it, Matt. And the thing is that I love when BYU's opponents, you know, that BYU beats, they produce good results. Like, I hate when BYU beats teams that just end up spiraling out of control.
Yes.
And become terrible teams, because we always hear it, well, yeah, you beat 1984 Pitt, but they ended up winning three games. Oh, Oklahoma in 2009, they only ended up winning eight games. Like, don't give me that. Like, in that moment, in that night, that was a big win. And you hope that those teams play out to live up to some of the expectations and the hype, because last year, Navy was an 11-win football team. So.
Right.
Hopefully they can pick this thing up, get some momentum, and turn this season around, because BYU thumped them, and it could have been easy to say, you know, like, this season's lost, it's COVID-19 related, we weren't even tackling leading up to that BYU game, it's all she wrote. But they fought back, down 24-0, now this thing's tied up, so let's see what Navy can do.
We should probably talk about the Big Ten, but all I want to do is talk about Navy football right now. Big Ten, crazy. I don't even know what word to use, Mitch, when describing the Big Ten. They were the first to pull the plug, and then here they are making a return, and they'll be playing an eight-game football schedule starting, October 24th, I believe. And there's some interesting games, and I think at the end of the day, it's hard to summarize my thoughts because they're all over the place, but I'll do my best to summarize my thoughts, Mitch. Then I want your opinion. At the end of the day, more than anything, I'm happy for the players, and I'm happy for the coaches that these guys are playing, because they wanted to play. And I think the players should have a say in what happens in college football. And I like that the Big Ten has made that happen. What I don't understand, though, and then I'll get to you, Mitch, what I don't understand is really hardly anything has changed from when they pulled the plug on the season. To me, and I'm not an expert, I'm not claiming to be, the only significant thing that I can see from their announcement is daily testing. But other than that, there's still concerns with what happens with the heart. There's still concerns with player safety. So I don't really see a whole lot that's changed from when they pulled the plug to now they're playing. But at the end of the day, I am happy for the players that will be playing in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because you wonder, we've heard about follow the science, follow this. Well, what's been the drastic developments the last few weeks that has suddenly made it go from, okay, August 11th, this thing could not be played,
yep,
to now suddenly, oh, football can be played. I think that the daily testing played a big role,
yep,
but I think ultimately, too, one of the big drivers here was, and they're not going to admit this in the Big Ten Conference, but the loss of TV revenues and the impact it was going to have on its entire athletic department, and not making any money from the Big Ten Network and Fox, that ultimately made them say, you know, we gotta recuperate some cost. And again, they'll never say that, because they have unpaid student athletes who get a free education. That means a lot, but still, it's kind of the reality here. And I think that when seeing the other leagues like the Big 12, you're seeing teams like the Sun Belt, Conference USA playing football games, Ohio State's probably sitting back and going, why the heck aren't we playing? And when they were pushing the narrative, asking the conference, why aren't we playing? Well, then it was on. Because when Ohio State's mad and angry, the Big Ten's going to make sure they're making Ohio State happy. And they're going to start October 24th. And one of the other teams that was really upset with shutting down the season back in August was Nebraska. And the Big Ten laid it thick on Nebraska. Their opening schedule is at Ohio State, then Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Penn State. So, Nebraska, for all your chirping, the Big Ten rewarded you with maybe one of the toughest four-game stretches that's the Big Ten's going to have this season. But, yeah, it's good that the Big Ten is back. If we want to have any sort of a national champion in college football this year, they needed to be in the mix, because Ohio State is definitely one of the four best teams in college football this year.
And I also think, Mitch, too, because there was the pressure from the get-go from Nebraska, and then you had some parents coming in from other teams and players as well, led by Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. A lot of players, we want to play the movement. I think the pressure really cranked up after week one when you saw games like BYU and Navy, Texas State and UTSA, where they played good competitive football games, and there were no outbreaks. I mean, we've seen some postponed games But I wouldn't – I would – this is just personal opinion here. I would not consider BYU football as an outbreak. I think a small couple cases with the states and the protocols in place, that game couldn't be played. But I wouldn't consider that an outbreak. A small group of players, I think – the pressure really ramped up after weeks 1 and 2, where you saw a lot of football games were being played and a lot of football games were being played safely and successfully.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, that the Big Ten is back and Pac-12 football potentially.
They're back, Mitch.
Yeah, they're going to be back. I agree. But as far as the start date, that's kind of up in the air. Our own KSL Sports, Tom Hackett, reported yesterday that November 7th is the likely target date for the Pac-12, which is notable because I believe October 31st is the deadline to be involved in the college football playoffs. So
I was just going to say that's too late.
The Pac-12 would be self-admitting that, hey, we're going to just play a season without being involved in the college football playoff, which wouldn't surprise me at all with the Pac-12 conference. The way they operate would not surprise me one bit.
The big issue with the Pac-12 though is the states of California and Oregon. I mean, that there were that mess with Governor Newsom where that was hard to stomach, where the players were like, "Governor Newsom, please let us play." I've never had anything in the legislation that prevents you from doing it. Just weird stuff going on in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12 is always weird, and the Mountain West Conference, they might be back maybe October 24th as well. So again, it's good to see all these leagues coming back, but you just go, why didn't you just maybe back in August instead of shutting it all down when we were still weeks before the season? Why didn't you just pump the brakes and say, we're going to hold off and maybe delay the start of the season till, say, October 1st? Because you basically got to that outcome anyway.
Yeah.
It was so pointless to postpone the season when they did. I think they got a case of seeing everyone else that was still playing and seeing these teams play games, and they were getting a little bit envious and thinking, man, the season could happen. Postponements will happen, but the games, the season, it's still going to try and move forward as much as possible. And I think that the Big Ten realized, hey, we got to get this thing back up and running and not fall behind the eight ball with these other leagues.
And I think the real issue, Mitch, which we've talked on ad nauseum here on Cougar Sports Saturday, where was the plan in the summer? I mean, some of the things I see from the Big Ten, which I agree with, I think they're great. Why wasn't that all along? Hey, you've got to have a positivity rate under 5%. If you test, you're out for at least 3 weeks. These are all things that didn't need to be implemented now. They could have been implemented all along back in April or May when you saw what was going on, saying, hey, we're going to play, but here are some protocols that we're putting in place. And the only way these are erased is if there's a vaccine. It's just stunning that these things weren't discussed in the summer.
Yeah, Big Ten's going to have an 8-game schedule, 8+1. They'll have their plus one is a championship weekend where the number one team in one division will play the other number one team, and then number two, number three, and so forth.
I got to cut you off. Tulane has dropped a 4th and 5, Mitch. Navy regains the football.
That is fantastic. We should not have underestimated the Navy going up against waves. They're going to navigate that quite nicely. They're America's finest for a reason. They're going to be able to handle some green waves quite nicely. We should have expected this, Matt, to be quite honest.
I'm sorry. That was very rude of me, but I'm just so into this Navy and Tulane game. 4th and 5, dropped. Navy takes over with the football and a chance to take the lead here in the fourth quarter.
Well, we got to take a break, though, Matt. We'll watch some more of this Navy game here in the break, but we got to get to a break. We'll get a traffic and weather update. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. However and wherever you're listening, we appreciate it as you listen to Cougar Sports Saturday with Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. Bummer. Still a bummer that there's BYU and Army should be kicking off here in 10 to 15 minutes. But COVID-19 pandemic postponed the football game, and we'll hope that gets rescheduled. As Mitch mentioned before the break, NFL season is underway. And man, that was really impressive last week, what they were able to do in terms of safety and no positive tests, no outbreaks. And so as we head into week 2, we thought we'd just take a look currently after the first week, what is our individual top five hierarchies of current BYU guys in the NFL? So let's start with you, Mitch. Give us your current top fives, 5-1, current players from BYU here in the NFL.
Well, my top guy right now is Kyle Van Noy. I think Van Noy is the, he's the top guy in the league. He's got that new deal with the Miami Dolphins. I think he's number one. Number two for me is Fred Warner. And then after him, I'm gonna go with Taysom Hill. And I feel like there's a huge drop-off after that, Matt. I think that it drops off significantly. I'd say four, it would be Daniel Sorensen. And then number five, I'll throw out a wild card and say, let's go Michael Davis with the L.A. Chargers. That would be my top five. What about you?
Okay, we're pretty much in lockstep there. Number one, Kyle Van Noy. I wanted to put Fred Warner there, but I think Kyle Van Noy, just his duration in the NFL, I'm going to give him a little bump. He's just had a little longer staying power, so I'm going to go Van Noy. I'm Van Noy, Warner, Taysom, 1-2-3, like you. I'm ashamed to admit that I forgot about Daniel Sorensen. So I had Michael Davis number four, but I hate that. So upon further review, I'm going to go Daniel Sorensen number four. And here's my surprise, number five, Harvey Longy. This is an often forgotten man in the NFL from a BYU perspective. But he started at linebacker for the New York Jets last week. Several tackles. I mean, phenomenal story. Gets this big deal for an undrafted free agent to go to New England. Gets in that horrible car accident. Makes his way back. Makes the Jets roster 2 years in a row and is starting a linebacker. I think he's a forgotten dude. Probably because the Jets are so horrible at football. It's embarrassing how bad the Jets have been in the NFL in recent memory. But Harvey Longy, he's the guy who just I love to see the story, to make the roster and to be a contributor for the Jets. I love it. I hope he continues to see success. So that's my current top five.
I like that, Matt. And Harvey Longy is the brother-in-law to new BYU basketball commit Jake Wallin, who you'll hear coming up from him in hour number three. So stay tuned for that. He's Temp View high product who just committed to the BYU Cougars. Now, our producer, Dallin, gave us a great idea, Matt. So that current top five that you have, what about 5 years from now? Who will be the top five BYU football, former BYU football players or current guys that'll be in the NFL, say, in 2025? Who will the top five NFL players from BYU be at that point? What would you say there?
I have a controversial list here. I think I'm going to stun you a little bit, Mitch, but I'm going to go 1-5. Number one, I think it's Taysom Hill. I have long believed that this guy is the starting quarterback in the NFL, and you know what's really pushed my belief even more that he will be is that age doesn't seem to matter anymore. Tom Brady, I mean, he didn't look great, but he still looks like a starting NFL quarterback. Russell Wilson's in his 30s. He's looking better than he's ever looked. I mean, he's an MVP caliber quarterback. I think the fact that he's in his 30-31 range for his age, I don't think that matters much. I think you could still get 8 to 10 years out of Taysom Hill, and I think the Saints feel that way, and I think he's going to be successful. So Taysom Hill, one for me. Number two, the way that the NFL has been trending, it's a pass-happy league. It's you know, the rules trend towards offense. I think Matt Bushman is going to be a phenomenal tight end in the NFL. I think he'll be, in 5 years, the second-best BYU player behind Taysom Hill. My third guy, another guy who's currently not in the NFL, but I think he's phenomenal, James Empey. I think he's going to have a long, illustrious career in the NFL as a center. I like James Empey in 5 years being a productive offensive lineman. Number four, a current guy, Fred Warner. I think Fred could be a lot higher, but 5 years is a long time, Mitch.
Yeah.
And for linebackers and certain positions, you just don't see that 10 to 15 year shelf life you see at like a quarterback per se. So I think Fred will still be very good then, but I think he'll be on the decline from his peak in 2025. And then number five, I'm the special teams guy here. I got to go special teams. Going Ryan Rakow, the punter. He's got the physical tools. He's got the leg. I think that if he continues to stay healthy and he's only punted one time in his BYU career, but it was a beautiful punt. So if that's more of what we're going to see from Ryan Rakow the next 4 years, I think he's going to get a chance in the NFL. So I'm going to go punter at number five.
Yeah, Rico, that punt he boomed in Annapolis. I was like, whoa, BYU's got a heck of a punter this year, and he's going to be really good. I like that. Hey, maybe he could be the next Thunderfoot, maybe, for BYU. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Here's my list. I got number one. I'm going to go with Fred Warner. I think he's still going to be really good 5 years from now in the league. Two, Taysom Hill. For a lot of the reasons you mentioned, I do believe he's going to be a starter in the league for the Saints. Three, I'm going to say Brady Christensen. I think he's going to be a standout in the National Football League. I think he could be a high draft pick, maybe second, third round. There's always a premium on an offensive tackle. I think Christensen's going to be in the top five for BYU 5 years from now as far as NFL goes. And then number four, James Empey, another offensive lineman who I see will be drafted. I mean, both these guys, Matt, they could leave after this year. Very possible that could happen, and they could go in the NFL draft, and they did a lot to help their cause with the dominance they showed against Navy in the first week. And then number five, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. I'm going to say a quarterback. I think Zach's going to have an NFL career. I liked what I saw from Navy game. I still think the upside, the potential is there for Zach. He's a younger guy. That's always a good thing in terms of, you know, having that those long number of years to add up in the National Football League. And I think he's got the arm strength necessary to be an NFL QB. You've seen it so far this year. A lot more zip on the ball because he's healthy now. And I think Zach Wilson is going to put up some really good numbers this year. And I think that maybe the next year or two, he's going to be putting up some big-time numbers in this BYU offense. So I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. I would have said Matt Bushman in my top five, but I always get a little bit worried with an Achilles injury. You just never know. That could drastically change an athlete to where they're just never the same again. And it might, you know, hurt his odds of being a high draft pick in this upcoming draft if he decides to pursue the National Football League this coming April. So I'd put Bushman as my number six guy, but that'd be my top five forecast 5 years from now in the National Football
League. It's going to be really interesting to see what Matt Bushman does. I don't know if there's a wrong choice. With that kind of injury, I think there's more to gain by coming back.
Yeah,
depending on the health, I would obviously love to see that. I want to see Matt Bushman in a senior season. I wouldn't blame him for going pro either. But I really do think the age thing is a little overblown. It does play a role, but there are a number of guys at a number of positions in the NFL who are having success that started their careers later than the age of 22, 23. It will play a role, but it's not something you can't overcome, is the point I'm trying to make. And so it'll be fascinating to see what he does.
Yeah, it definitely will. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens in the next segment. Yes. On the top five, our favorite segment of the show. Coming up next, it's the top five here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. Navy midshipmen down big to Tulip. They were down 24-0. They were down 24-0. And they kicked a game-winning field goal in New Orleans, Louisiana, to get the win. And I think, Mitch, that safely keeps BYU in the top 25 for another week.
Yeah, it does, and great win for the midshipmen coming back from 24-0 to get that victory. And I noticed in the postgame, too, Tulane, they walked off the field. They didn't join Navy in the singing of alma mater like BYU did, which when I was talking to people at Navy, that's the ultimate sign of respect from an opponent joining the midshipmen to sing alma mater. BYU did that. Tulane, a little bit salty, giving up a 24-0 lead. Maybe it's a little bit tougher to go sing after blowing that huge lead. It's a little bit easier after you beat the opponent 55-3, but still, I think even win or lose, BYU was going to participate in that thing. But I just that was something that caught my eye, because I will say, Matt, I have never watched this much Navy football in my life until this year. It was in 2015 when Coach Ken was linked to the BYU job potentially. I was all in on that Army-Navy game. And then this year, because BYU played them, and they're one of the better teams on BYU's schedule. So I'm all in on Navy football. So go Midshipmen. Great win today, taking down Tulane.
And I'm hoping to follow Navy with a win here in the top five.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
You know, we'll see if it does. If you have an impressive comeback like the Navy midshipmen had today, 24-0.
If that's the case, that's not going to be how I drew it up. If I have to come back from 24 down in the top five, which would be the equivalent of down 2-0.
Yeah.
That's
like down 2-0 against the ropes. That'd be fantastic. But we'll see what happens today with the top five. I do want to say, I realized that my head just basically works in top fives because I had that idea for you guys to do top five players in 2025. And here we are again with another top five. Just a lot of top fives. But hey, it's kind of fun to do. So this week, you know, we talked a lot before the season about the hype for tight ends. You had Matt Bushman coming into his senior season, Isaac Rex, this sort of combination that would be fun. And we know how great Bushman has been, led the team in receiving over the last 3 years. And we haven't really talked a lot about the wide receivers. But now that Bushman's out, I think we need to start paying more attention to what this wide receiver group could do this year. Because we saw that week one, not a lot of, you know, targets for Isaac Rex. They had Mason Wake in there a little bit, but he's fullback tight end sort of thing. So, Gunnar Romney was extremely impressive that game. 4 receptions, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Could have had more.
Seems like
should have had more. And it seems like that's going to be a favorite target for Zach this year. So I started thinking about, well, if Gunnar has a great season, where would that rank among the best wide receiver seasons under Kalani Sitake? And we know that Matt Bushman has led the team in receiving, so clearly wide receiver hasn't been necessarily a big strength or hasn't been a number one guy. So this week, the top five is the best seasons by a BYU wide receiver in the Kalani Sitake era.
Oh, man.
Okay. All you got to do is name the player in the year.
All you have to do.
And I'm not going to make you put them in order because I'm not mean like that.
Thank you.
Because it's the point of this list is to say that I think Gunnar Romney could solidify himself as number one on this list, and I think he could probably do it in like 5 or 6 games. I think he has a legitimate shot. We'll see.
Whoa.
We'll see how this goes. But that's the list today. Mitch, Matt, any questions before we begin?
No, let's do this thing.
Yeah, seems clear to me.
All right, let's throw it out to Mitch first out there in Murray. Mitch, what do you got for your first
Mitch
guess?
And Murray. Long
Mitch
time.
In
hey, long time listener, first time caller. Hey, let's see here. I'm going to go with Micah Simon in 2019.
Yeah, Micah Simon, number one on my list. This was pretty easy. 51 receptions, 616 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And the fact that that is number one on the list kind of goes back to my point about Gunnar Romney this season. Because, I mean, it was a great season for Micah last year. I don't want to take anything away from that. But when we're talking about, you know, 12 games in last season, he's averaging about 50 yards a game. That's definitely doable by these BYU wide receivers when there's no other number one target available. So Mike Simon, great last year. Number one on the list. That's easy. Okay, Matt.
I'm going to go Mitchell Juergens 2016.
Oh, very surprised by that.
I'm in trouble.
How about Talon Shumway 2019?
You nailed it. All right. Talon Shumway, that's number two on the list. 43 receptions, 561 yards, and 4 touchdowns last season for Talon Shumway.
Wow.
Ooh, I'm going for the sweep, man.
Dang.
I'm fighting
Dang.
Back. You got the sweep last week. I'm coming back, man.
Okay. It's my turn. I'm going to go 2017 Aleva Hifo.
Ooh. Staying alive.
Okay.
I like it. Aleva Hifo 2017. That's number 5 on the list. 37 receptions, 437 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I didn't take into consideration the run game aspect that Aleva Hifo specifically has and had in the offense the last couple years. Purely wide receiver stats there. But number 5, staying alive, Matt. Is the Navy versus Tulane comeback
going
to happen today?
That's on the table.
We'll find out. Mitch, can you close it out here?
I think I'm going to, potentially. I mean, It's easy to go to. I'm going to stay with the same year again, 2019, Aleva Hefo.
Oh, yeah! My goodness.
Mitch sweeps it with purely last year's numbers. And you are absolutely right, Mitch.
Wow.
Aleva Hefo, 2019, number four on the list, 42 receptions, 483 yards, and three touchdowns. Aleva was great. Aleva was great last year.
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, he had that little bit of a stint with the Kansas City Chiefs. Then he was on the COVID list. Then he tried out with the Arizona Cardinals and then bounced back with Kansas City. Hopefully he can find his footing in the National Football League, because they used him, they being BYU, a lot in a lot of different ways. I remember when he first came to BYU as a true freshman, I remember Ty Detmer was like, he's one of our game playmakers right away as a true freshman. So I think there's always been a high regard for Aleva Hefo, and he was a solid player at BYU. Had helped kind of shape what the offense was becoming. Had to go through a lot of growing pains, but he's a good football player. And that trio last year was one of some of the better receivers that BYU has had under Kalani Sitake.
No doubt about it. So we're missing what, number four?
We're missing number three here.
Then I'm going to go Micah Simon, 2018.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Who would be 2016? I feel like we're missing
someone. Nobody, Mitch.
I feel like we're missing someone.
I've got
Matt.
A name from 2016, but I don't feel good about it.
I because my first thought was Mitch Matthews, but no, he was 2015. That
yes.
was his senior year.
Yep.
Why am I drawing a blank on the 2016 receivers?
Well, one of them was a tight end.
This is wrong, but Taron Houck.
I think he was a senior in 2015,
yeah,
too.
I think he was.
Let's go Jonah Trinneman, 2016.
Yeah, Trinneman had that big catch against Toledo to open the game, and I can't remember many more catches, oddly enough. Like, I love Jonah. I love the family, and he was a, man, quick guy. I mean, one of the fastest combine times BYU's had under Kalani Sitake at the pro day. It was like 4.3 flat. He was right up there with Taysom. Gosh.
You guys are in the right year, by the way.
Okay. 2016?
It is the 2016.
Because I was like, it can't be 2017 with how that offense was struggling. Gosh, I don't know why this is so difficult. I feel like it's going to be so obvious when you say the name, but I can't.
I'll go Morone Laulu Pututau.
Well, yeah, because he was a receiver.
He was a receiver in 20. How are we missing this? It's not. We've named like four receivers. We've named Mitch Juergens. We've named. Man, what is? Oh, I know. Maybe. No, I don't. I was going to say Devon Blackman, but he was gone.
Yeah, he was 15. I remember the senior year against Fresno State. The fans were begging.
It's 2016.
It is,
and it's a wide receiver.
And it is a wide receiver. I even checked his BYU Cougars athlete profile.
Colby Pearson.
That was a good guess, but
that was a good guess.
He was underutilized at BYU. Oh my goodness, 2016 was it. Oh, we've named all the receivers. I'm stumped.
Do you guys want me to just tell you what it
is?
Yeah,
tell us, please.
All right, it is Nick Kurtz.
Oh my goodness. That's embarrassing.
Kurtz. Yeah, we should have known
guys.
That. Oh,
yeah, 48
man.
Receptions, 541 yards, two touchdowns. He is only, in the Kalani Sitake era, there are only five BYU wide receivers that had a 400-yard season, and those are all the five guys on this
wow.
list.
You know what I love about Nick Kurtz, too, is he was a highly recruited guy. And in my opinion, I think that he had a good career at BYU. I mean, he wasn't a superstar, but he was a really good wide receiver. I mean, if you get that kind of production from your transfers, then you're doing well in the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a guy that he had offers from USC, LSU.
Oregon, you know, I think.
Yeah. 2014, I remember he joined as a JC transfer, part of that Jordan Leslie group, Devon Blackman. It was a
yep.
heralded wide receiver class. Remember he battled injuries early on with an ankle, and then 15, you know, he got a little bit in the mix. Not that huge role, though, because Mitch Matthews and Taron Houck, and then 2016 was his senior year, and it was like, dang, if he could have had another year or two, been like
yeah.
a full... You know, his whole 4 years at BYU, he could have been really good. But it was almost like it was just too little too late. Like, he needed one more year to really become a star at BYU. But, yeah, Nick Kurtz, I can't believe I forgot that. I remember he had that, what was it, touchdown grab against UCLA in that
yep.
game that was like 17-14. Yeah, that man, that just that feels like a lifetime ago in a way, that first season with Kalani now. But at the same time, it sometimes feels like it's yesterday. It's kind of weird to describe.
All right, Mitch, the stage is yours for 30 seconds for snapping the streak and getting the win.
Yeah, getting the win. It feels like it's been a long time, like, what, a month since I got on the victory podium? I'm glad to be here, first off. And second of all, how about those L.A. Lakers getting that win last night in the Western Conference Finals? They're none of this 0-1 down in this series. They're going to handle business against the Denver Nuggets. It's going to be a sweep. The Lakers are getting title number 17. It's all Lakers. The Heat are not going to challenge the Lakers in the finals. That thing's a wrap. Lakers are going to hoist number 17 coming up here in a few weeks. Gotta love to see it, Matt. Love to see it.
I've never been more proud to give you the stage to discuss whatever you wanted for 30 seconds. Good stuff, Mitch. Thanks, Down. We appreciate it. We'll get to a break here. We're going to shift gears. Hoops is right around the corner. Stay with us here in Cougar Sports Saturday. More to go. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Congrats to Mitch on another top five win. My three-game winning streak came to an end, but I wasn't too mad with Mitch's little spiel there at the end about the NBA. So, hey, it is what it is. But thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And if you missed that or any other segments here from the show, of course, you can always go back and listen on our podcast feed. Go to kslsports.com. And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Mitch, with no BYU game this week, it provided an opportunity here to do something we normally wouldn't have time to do, and that's have a little story time with our producer, Dallin Graff. Now, Dallin is a relatively new BYU fan, and if you go deep into the archives of history, he gets lost. There's a lot that he doesn't know about BYU football. Is that right, Dallin?
Yes, admittedly, yes. As you've probably heard through the numerous top fives that I've done, at certain points I may have just missed things or just not understood things. I'm learning, and I'm okay. You know, I'm open to the criticisms and the, you know, it's a learning process. We're doing this.
It's
We're doing
not this. So much criticism as it is just an opportunity to learn. So we need to have story time, and before we do, Dallin told us something midweek during our prep call that, quite frankly, stunned me. There's no other way to fully describe what was said over the phone. Dallin told us he doesn't read, which is interesting. Which he's missing a lot of great books. Text us 57500. Which book should Dallin read? Let him know on the text line. There's a lot of great books out there, and one of them that I think he should read because he's an NFL fan. Dallin, is the NFL your favorite sport?
NBA is my favorite, okay. But NFL is a close second. Okay. I mean, I follow the NFL very heavily.
So a new book came out recently called The Dynasty by one of my favorite authors, Jeff Benedict. Now, if you read books, you may know this guy's name because he's written many a book that intersects with sports and BYU. He wrote a book, about a decade now, called The System with Armand Katayan. Great book about college football. Phenomenal, Dallin. If you ever pick up a book again, maybe start with The System. It's a great book. And he wrote a couple chapters about Kyle Van Noy and his story to BYU, Ziggy Ansah and his story to BYU. Phenomenal. I mean, at least read those chapters for the sake of the show. You're not going to do it, but maybe listen to them on Audible.
That's probably where I should start with the reading, is maybe I'll just download Audible or one of those apps listen to books.
So he wrote this new book called The Dynasty. It's all about New England Patriots football from before Robert Kraft got there and to current day. It's phenomenal. And Mitch, you got to this first because you were reading it on the flight to Annapolis. A crazy nugget comes out of this book about BYU.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable because I was not expecting this because, again, it's a book about the New England Patriots. Well, Tom Brady, the center stage, the guy at the focal point of the New England Patriots dynasty, he talks about some of his teammates during the years with the Patriots and whatnot. But then he also mentioned something about BYU. So this is from the book, from The Dynasty by Jeff Benedict. Tom Brady admits that he was once upon a time, guys, courted, recruited by BYU. I had no idea about this. I had no idea that Tom Brady once upon a time was recruited by BYU. And I went back in the archives and I looked at this because I have a lot of books that I've read over the years.
Okay. You don't have to flex like that.
I have an archive of many leather-bound books.
Oh, jeez. Mahogany smelling?
Smells rich of rich mahogany.
It stings the nostrils. But in 1995, BYU signed Brandon Doman, Steve Sarkisian, Charlie Peterson at quarterback. Tom Brady ended up going to Michigan, but he admits that he was courted by BYU, which I found fascinating in that. But then also goes on to say, Brady had been courted by BYU. This is from the book. Quote, Brady had been courted by BYU, and he followed the program. When they got on the subject, he was talking with Lee Johnson, former punter at BYU. They discovered they had another connection. Johnson and Steve Young had been college teammates and had roomed together for 4 years. Young remained one of Johnson's closest friends. For real, Brady said to Johnson, I love Steve Young. He was my favorite player. Him and Joe, I love Steve's game. So Tom Brady, friends with Lee Johnson, Thunderfoot, the former BYU great, and his favorite player growing up was Steve Young. Pretty cool stuff. The little unique BYU connections to the greatest NFL quarterback of all time in Tom Brady.
And almost as shocking, well, actually, no, but it did shock me. When you think of special teams at BYU, is Lee Johnson not the name that comes up first, Mitch?
Oh, yes. He's Thunderfoot. You know, he's the guy that punted the ball barefoot. He was fantastic. National champion.
Look at Dallin's eyes, but you can't see unless you're watching the stream. He had no idea. These things you're telling him are new to Dallin.
Thunderfoot means nothing to me.
Yeah, Dallin in our prep calls sometimes will just probably pause during the call and just me and Matt are going on some tangent about something from like 1999 or something. I usually dig in deep to the Wayback Machine, but like we'll go into some like 2006 tangent because we love that era of BYU football. And Dallin's like, guys, I'm still here. I'm not reading a book, but I'm still here. But
Should play a game sometime where we just come up with names with Dallin, and he tells us if they played for BYU or if they didn't.
Ooh. Okay.
Who they play for?
Who they play for with Dallin? We might need to bust that out next week.
That is a great idea. I don't know how well I do, but I want to say, I don't know if it's, I understand this guy has a fantastic nickname and a great punter, but I don't know if it's that egregious.
He played in the NFL for nearly 20 years, Mitch.
I'm just saying, it's a punter. I mean, if like, I know
punters are people too, for heaven's sakes.
Okay, all right.
But yeah. Another thing I thought was so interesting about the Tom Brady and BYU connection, because, you know, Tom Brady came out of the Bay Area, almost went to Cal to play football, and BYU was in the mix there, but he takes a recruiting trip to Michigan, and he almost leaves Michigan. Like, I think it was assumed that he was going to go to Cal if he had left Michigan, but you have to wonder if he maybe looked at BYU and was like, dang, I might be able to go play there, right, Mitch?
Yeah, that's
because that would have been what, early 2000s.
Yeah,
there was not great quarterback play. I mean, I guess there Brandon Doman.
Yeah, Doman was good, but they had a lot of shuffling. It was Brett Ingeman, it was Charlie Peterson, Lance Pendleton. BYU had a lot of shuffling at the quarterback position. It would have definitely been a lot different with old Tom Brady. The thing is, too, is that BYU once upon a time, I mean, they were.
Quarterback you.
The gold standard of quarterbacks. I mean, Lavelle Edwards, I mean, if you wanted to be in the National Football League and be developed the right way at the quarterback position, you were going to be in the mix to consider BYU. I mean, and Tom Brady was a heralded recruit. I went back and looked at my old recruiting rankings. He was the number 24 ranked player nationally in 1995,
wow.
Whereas Brandon Doman was 101. He was right there on the outside of the top 100, but yeah, kind of interesting. Just think that Tom Brady was courted and recruited a little bit by BYU. It kind of shows how BYU and quarterbacks recruits, how BYU was just kind of synonymous with being in the conversation with the who's who of quarterbacks back in the day. So thought that was a really cool thing to see BYU have a little bit of a nugget of info in that dynasty book from Jeff Benedict and the New England Patriots.
Wow, these things you guys call books seem really fascinating. I'm not going to lie. Maybe I'll have to.
So why no books for you, Dale? Are you just, you know, because you're a radio guy? It's all about the audio.
No,
he doesn't
even
listen to books. Though.
I just learned from YouTube. You know, I'm a millennial. Who am I kidding?
Are you really? Or are you the Gen Z?
No, or? I'm 93, so I'm squarely a millennial here. And yeah, I don't know.
Are you to blame for the rise of cases, Dallin? You and your kind?
Me and all of my peers, all of my millennial peers. No, I avoid parties. I'm too old for that now. I don't do that. Just in general, avoid those. But yeah, these books, you know, they sound interesting. Maybe I'll.
Have you? Serious note though. Have you ever read a book?
Yeah, of course. Okay, I will give you that. I have not legitimately read a book other than the Bible since I graduated high school. Or, I no, college, I will say, because he had to read in college. Outside
no
of
one
school,
ever read their books from front to back in college.
All I'm saying is, just for leisure, for fun, I don't read books. I learn from YouTube and the internet.
Yo,
and I can't. Oh man, please don't text in and be mean to me. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Someone did text in. I don't know if this is real or not. I'll have to look it up. Texter 1431. Books who moved my cheese.
I don't know what that is.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that is.
Is that even real?
It sounds amazing.
It might be a self help book, Dallin.
Oh, I
would say start
useful.
With the sports books, knowing your personality.
True.
Put the self-help books on the back burner for now, and start with Jeff Benedict. You can go with The System, The Dynasty, Tiger Woods' autobiography. You can't go wrong with any of those three.
Listen, I was always a big Tiger Woods fan.
Okay, then that's the one for
that's
you.
The one?
Phenomenal. Right. Jeff Benedict.
I'll look into it.
Great author and BYU guy too, so check it out. All right, I guess we got to get to a break here. On the other side, we're shifting to hoops. And we're bringing on Mark Durant to talk about the upcoming BYU basketball season. We'll chat with him next here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougar Sports winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three underway here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Hours number one and two in the books. You can find them on the podcast feed. Right now, we got to get out to the phone line and bring in a BYU legend, a great basketball player, our friend Mark Durant. Thanks for coming on, Mark. We appreciate it.
Fellas, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We love talking with you, especially this time of year, because it feels like basketball is right around the corner. And now I think there's some clarity that basketball is going to go ahead and be played. Just how do you feel about this year's BYU basketball team now that we know we are going to see them on the hardwood?
Yeah, I mean, I love this time of year, and it's been so hot I haven't really been thinking about it. But today had just enough briskness in the air to get me thinking that it's coming, it's happening. And, of course, the announcement the other day that it is, at least knock on wood, going to happen, even though it's been
right.
postponed. You know, that makes me feel good. And but, you know, after the end of that, the way that season ended and how disappointing it was, and you had this team of all these seniors that were so good, and when are you ever going to hope to have that kind of leadership, that kind of talent, that kind of shooting again for BYU? And you're like, did we miss our window again? Do we have the rug pulled out from underneath us again, right when we're kind of at the brink of maybe doing something special? And so it was frustrating. And you looked at next season, you think, well, I mean, it's the cupboard's not bare by any means, but, you know, can this team be good as they have been? And over the course of the summer with the transfers they've gotten and the things that have happened, and I have just such great optimism to begin with Coach Pope and his staff, that I'm already back to the point where I think this team can compete for a conference title with Gonzaga and win some games in the NCAA tournament. That's a long way for me to go to get there. But I just love what I've seen. And even though you lose some great players, I just like the direction of this program, the excitement, and just, you know, with that leadership of Coach Pope and some of the players they've got and some of the guys they brought in. I mean, why not have high expectations? I mean, I like having high expectations. I want to believe that they can do something really special. And we'll see what happens, but I certainly feel much more confident going into this season than I did finishing up this past one.
Mark Durant's our guest here on KSL News Radio, and the NCAA, of course, announced that college basketball will start on November 25th. And one of the big questions now, Mark, is that what will BYU do for a schedule? Mark Pope put it out there. He wants to play the toughest non-conference schedule he can possibly play, if anyone's willing to listen to him. Do you think that there's going to be any way that BYU can piece together some good games that can maybe bolster that tournament resume?
Hey, listen, one of the toughest things I've had to do as a father is tell my 11-year-old daughter that there's no Bahamas in November. I mean, that was a rough conversation. But I mean, I guess that could still happen. They're going to play in some kind of multi-team tournament, whether it's the Junkanoo or if they, you know, move that in later, or if it's some other tournament. I mean, I think that's kind of the ideal situation, right, for teams now. And I think the more multi-team tournaments, the better, because you have at least some kind of control. It's almost like a bubble. You bring in the teams and you just kind of play each other, and rather than maybe do a doubleheader, you play a round robin or something. I think that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, it's a big question mark. We already knew earlier that the Pac-12 teams, you had, what, Utah and Arizona State and Oregon, were going to push back. And, you know, maybe with their rethinking football, maybe they'll push it forward again. And those teams might be back on a possibility. Obviously, playing those teams from a Power 5 conference is good for your schedule. Maybe you can, you know, move like a Boise State. You know, they're fairly close. You can move them later. They'll figure it out. But I think the key is with the shortened schedule, and I think Mark Pope's talked about this before, it's going to be even tougher for a team like BYU to get in the NCAA tournament with that. So you need to make your case in as quickly and in as effectively as you can, and that means playing really good teams. And so I think the staff will be focused on all their efforts on not just playing games against anybody, but really making the games count for postseason type things. And so we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, that's the weird thing. It's everything changes from week to week, and it's kind of frustrating. I think, you know, certainly we all understand, you know, the condition and what's happening in the country, but what I'd like to see a little bit more of, and hopefully what we're seeing the last couple of weeks with football and now with the basketball, is that this is happening. But I'd like to see the powers that be really work to find a way to play rather than work to find ways not to play. And I think we know enough about the situation and the safety guidelines and who is particularly vulnerable and how many fans you can have and wearing masks and all those things. I think when you take that into account, you can play a full schedule and you can be safe about it and have it all happen rather than, well, let's just shut it down because we don't know and it's not safe. And I mean, that if you live that kind of life, then you're not going to leave your house. You know, you got to make some steps forward. And again, I want it to be as safe as possible, but I think you can be safe and play college basketball and do the right things. And that's important, not for me as a fan, although I like it, and not even for the coaches, although, you know, that's how they make their living. But I tell you what, guys, Mitch and Matt, these players, as a guy who played college basketball, the level of commitment and hours and sacrifice that they put in to get to this spot is mind-boggling. It's almost inconceivable and how much they want to play. So I think leaders and administrators and NCAA officials and everybody else should be doing everything they can to allow that to happen. And so I hope that's the trend. And we'll get better and better at all this, and we'll have a great season. I look forward to watching these guys play.
Well, if there's any consolation, Mark. Tell your daughter that Junkanoo Beach is not nearly as nice as the beaches in Hawaii. So maybe pass that tidbit of information along. Maybe that'll help ease the blow.
Hey, listen, all I know is there's no beach in Laramie. So if you give me a beach, I'll go. Just tell me which beach.
What part of last year's team do you think is something that this coaching staff needs to emphasize and maybe implement into the program for years to come?
Well, college basketball, the nature of it now is shooting the three-point shot. I mean, it's even though they've lengthened the shot a little bit, it's an easy shot. Realistically speaking, the kids nowadays, I watch 11-year-olds at Junior Jazz unconscious from three. I mean, it's an easy shot, and it's worth 3 points. it's not rocket science. And so if BYU can shoot 40 to 45% like they did last year, be the top of the country, they're going to be in games. It's just such an important shot. And what I liked about Coach Pope is he's very analytical. He's got all the data, and he knows what BYU needs to do to compete. And BYU might not have the most athletic guys, although, I think we joke about that a little bit too much because there's some pretty darn good athletic talent on BYU's team. But what they can do is shoot the ball, and that ought to be the hallmark of every BYU team. And it's one thing to just shoot the three. But to get open looks and to make a high percentage is the real question. And Coach Pope's offense, I thought, was terrific in getting into the paint, breaking down the defense, knowing where the shooters are. And I thought they were just incredibly effective, especially given that it was his first year. It was the first introduction for those guys that, like I mentioned, were seniors. It's a new offense. And that was a pretty impressive accomplishment to shoot the ball the way that they did. Now with guys like Harms and Lowell, I don't know what his condition is right now, and Harward and Gavin Baxter and Colby Lee, you can't just shoot threes when you have that kind of size and talent inside. So maybe a little bit more balance in the paint, but all threats inside, even though you lost Yoli, all that does if you have threats inside is make the 3-point shots easier. And so I really like that aspect. I came from a Roger Reed era where it was kind of set offense. Let's get the ball into Russ Larson or Gary Trost. And it was really effective, but I don't think teams can compete that way anymore. You need to be able to shoot a high volume of threes and make a good percentage. And BYU was terrific at that last year and will need to continue to be.
You know, Mark, you've seen this program for many years and seen a lot of great players come into the program. And I got to say, this year's roster, though, even though there's so many new faces, 10 new guys, it's a fascinating makeup of players and combination of balance, as you mentioned, with the front court and the back court. I mean, just on paper, with the talent that's on this roster, I mean, how do you think it stacks up compared to some of the teams of the past from what you see from a personnel standpoint?
Well, I mean, it's different because I don't really see a superstar. Like Yoli Childs is a superstar, and they've had kind of that guy, Jimmer, you go down the list. This team doesn't seem to have that standout. Maybe he'll emerge, but the depth is insane. I mean, you bring in Averett with Barcelo on the perimeter, and I think guys that could have a real breakout season are guys like Connor Harding, who I think is a terrific player. Trevin Nell, I think, amazing shooter. You know, Jesse Wade, if he's healthy, you know, what will he do? But then you add some guys that really can help you, like Harms. I mean, when he's in the game, and, you know, people talk about 7'3", 7'4", those kind of guys, and usually they can hardly stand up straight. But this guy's athletic, and when he's in the game, there will be no baskets in the paint. And that changes teams. And you have to shoot the jumpers, and so he's a game changer, loner. I mean, go out, getting George Johnson, Erickson. I mean, you got a lot of guys, and the exciting thing for them, because I know coming in as a freshman, Mike Smith had just graduated. I knew that I had a chance if I played well to get some time, and maybe that wasn't so much the case last year with all those seniors. But a lot of these young guys, I mean, that's some meat on the bone for you to go get. If you got to get after it, and So that's exciting. There'll be some good competition there and good athleticism. So, like I said, there's not really a superstar, but that could actually benefit this team and really come together as a team to be effective. And with that depth, gives a coach, I mean, if you're a coach, you just got to be, that's your dream, is to, you know, have your second five be able to go in and contribute as much as your first five. That's a pretty good option for Coach Pope, and find the right combination. So we'll see. I mean, it's all talk. You know, yeah. That's what we do. Us guys, we talk, but I feel really good about it. I mean, it's just no reason not to with Coach Pope and that great coaching staff and these young guys. Why not be really good with what I'm seeing?
You can follow him at Durant Mark. We're anxiously awaiting the start of college basketball season. We think the team's going to be awesome, and we're looking forward to hearing you and Greg on the call. And thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to. It seems like it's been a couple years since I've talked basketball or seen basketball. That's just the way this year's gone. But I'm excited to get some normalcy and to watch my Cougars play. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, and hopefully a beach comes your way this year too. So, all right,
well, thanks, Mark.
I'm gonna have a talk with Coach Pope, and we'll see if I can make that happen.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. All right, we'll get to a break here. More BYU basketball on the other side. Coach Pope spoke with the media recently. We'll break down what he had to say and preview this upcoming season. Stay with us here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
You guys are going to want to have this recording because this is going to be epic.
Coach Pope. Man, that guy is, he's the man. Coach Pope is the man. And he spoke with the media earlier this week, kind of touching on all points as college basketball has a start date of 11/25. Now, like football, we'll see if that happens. I'm optimistic that it will, Mitch. I think that will happen, and we'll have to see how it goes. The one thing that keeps coming back to me, and we've learned this a little bit from the NBA bubble, basketball staffs are just so much smaller. I mean, the rosters are smaller, the staffs are smaller. It's just a significantly less number of people. I think that you can really, quote-unquote, shrink the bubble with basketball teams, and I think because of that, there'll be a great opportunity for college basketball to proceed with the season in 2020. That's great news for BYU fans, because I think Mark Durant, who we just spoke with in the previous segment, he touched on such a great point. That was such a sour note that BYU basketball ended last season on. I mean, BYU basketball, I will take this to my grave. Mark it down. I will never back off this point. I think that team was a Final Four team. I really believe that. They were healthy. They were gelling together. They had just beaten Gonzaga. They had that stumble in the WCC tournament, but that was a weird game. Alex Barcelo got hurt, and the shooting was off. But I think that team was primed to do a lot of good things in the tournament, and then it gets ripped out from under them.
The great thing about that take, Matt, is that you can never be proven wrong.
Great point.
That's the great thing about that. And hey, you know, like, what was it, the ESPN simulation back in March after the cancellation took place? They simulated it on the ESPN BPI. And what was it, BYU was the national runner-up to Wisconsin? Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of outlets that thought BYU last year in hoops could have made a run to the Final Four. And, you know, look, I think that BYU basketball has a great trajectory with Mark Pope. But I do think that Mark Durant makes an interesting point that there's not a clear-cut star on this year's team. Like, last year you knew, even though he was suspended for 9 games, Yoli Childs was going to be the face of the program. TJ Haas, been through all the battles. He was another leader and a star that was an all-conference performer. So that will be something that needs to emerge on this team if they really want to make a run, because you need some stars to emerge.
Yes, you do need stars. However, I would say this. It's not like the NBA. I mean, you look at a lot of the NCAA champions over the past 10 years, they did not have the number one pick in the draft. They did not have, I mean, there are teams like Kentucky with Anthony Davis that win the championship, but there haven't been that level of talent at Gonzaga and other, you know, Villanova even. I don't think there's been superstar players at Villanova, but yet they've won championships. And so I think depth, having quality of depth, is just as important in college basketball as having the stars.
Well, and I think what I mean by stars is just like a Yoeli Childs type. Like, gotcha. Yoeli Childs might not be an NBA draft pick, but he was a star in college basketball, right. and someone that was an All-American type candidate, one of the top, you know, power forwards in the game. But you're right, though. It can be, if you can just have that chemistry and have the best locker room in America, and that was something that Mark Pope discussed earlier this week with the media, maintaining the best locker room in America, can they do it with such a new and new roster that has so many new guys?
I hope it's something that becomes a core of who we are. It's very aspirational, obviously, and it's really fun because I don't know that there's any, you know, with all these genius analytics guys, there's been nobody to formulate an algorithm to judge the best locker room in America, which means I can just claim it whenever I want. But it really is a key to who we are and what we should do. And here at BYU, the way we recruit, it should be something that we can compete for every year. It should be a staple of what makes us really good. Every program's going to have things that make them really good, and this is something that should make us really good every single year.
It's already made this team better, Mitch. I mean, you think about the best locker room in America mantra. I think that played a role in some of the transfer decisions to join BYU. I think it absolutely had an impact on Matt Harms. I think it had an impact on Brandon Averett. I mean, I'm with him. It's not quantifiable, but it matters. Having that chemistry and that culture in the program is something that's critical. I mean, I think about myself and places that I want to work and people I want to be around. I'm looking for that. If you want to use the word culture, great. If there's another word, that's great too. I'm looking for whatever that thing is. And Coach Pope and the basketball program has it. That attracts people. That attracts talented people. People who have options look for those type of things. And if Coach Pope and BYU can continue that trend, I think we're going to continue to see guys of the Matt Harms and Brandon Averett caliber be interested and choose BYU.
Well, and you look at the NBA right now, the Miami Heat, they might not have as much star power as some of the teams in this Final Four, but they're the hottest team right now maybe in the NBA because they genuinely like being with one another in that bubble atmosphere. I mean, Bam Adebayo has talked about that, how they just love being with one another, and Jimmy Butler too, and Dragic. So it works. Chemistry is a real thing. It's tangible, especially in basketball when you have just five guys out on the court and you gotta, you know, come together as a collective unit to piece it together and make something great happen. So I think that there's a lot of exciting things, and I like the messaging that's happening with BYU basketball because it has proven that it's working on the recruiting trail. Players are taking note. Like, anyone that had a Power 5 offer in the transfer portal, they probably were contacted by Mark Pope and his staff at some point, and they maybe entertained a call or two. I mean, getting Matt Harms, I think, was just a huge message that this coaching staff, what they're doing, it's something that's it's real, and these players and recruits are taking notice of what's happening, and BYU's recruiting efforts are continuing to have a lot of success with even the 2021 class. We'll talk more about that a little bit later with Waleen, the latest commitment for the program. But I want to get some more Mark Pope sound. Scheduling is going to be a big thing now for the program. Can they piece together some quality non-conference games? This was Pope on the possibilities of piecing together a schedule during this pandemic.
So it's actually really interesting right now. It's super fun, right? Because it's just madness and chaos. So staff was in here late last night, kind of just reaching out to everybody we can think of, and we're trying to answer all kind of questions. Most pressing right now is the loss of the MTE or the rescheduling of the MTE. I think there's somewhere maybe between 8 and 12 MTEs that are affected by the change in date. That's a lot of teams. So the first thing we did last night was we ran through all of the MTEs that had dates affected, and we circled every high major that was in those events, and we're trying to call them all individually, see if we can get those games. I don't know if that's going to work, but it's a little bit of a free-for-all right now and just trying to figure it out, so it's fun.
The one thing that does benefit BYU, Mitch, before we get to a break in this chaos of scheduling, is that non-conference matters in college basketball, and teams are willing to play interesting games. And I think BYU, especially, they might not come to Provo, but if you want to go on the road or go neutral site, I think there'll be some opportunities to play some big-time games.
There definitely will. We got to take a break, though, on there. So we'll get you a college football scoreboard update and also play an interview from Jake Wallin, the newest BYU basketball commit. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number three rolling along. This whole show has been rolling along. KSL News time is 2:35 or 2:36 p.m. now. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon, watching maybe a lot of college football. It's not a full slate of games yet, Big Ten Conference. They'll be joining the fray next month on October 24th. The SEC gets started next week, and of course, BYU returns to action next week when they take on the Troy Trojans. And those Troy Trojans are playing right now against Middle Tennessee, looking pretty good, up 14-7 right now against the Blue Raiders. What do you kind of make of this Troy team? Just kind of an early look, Matt, from what you've been kind of seeing early on in this game. What do you make of this matchup with the Troy Trojans from the Sun Belt?
It's going to be a totally different look than what they got against Navy. I mean, obviously, but Troy can throw the football. Gunnar Watson, the Troy quarterback, 12 of 15, 130 yards and a TD. I think it'll just be fun to see a different style because we were all braced for back-to-back weeks of triple option, but now we're going to see a pass-heavy team in Troy come to Provo.
Yeah, this Troy team's got some pretty good wide receivers, too, so it'll be a good test for BYU secondary and good secondary as well from Troy. So they got good athletes.
Yeah.
In the Sun Belt Conference, I got to say, Sun Belt, I know it's a deep cut here. Like, not many people are out in this part of the country are watching Sun Belt football, but they've looked pretty good so far this year. They beat a bunch of
Louisiana, right?
Yeah, they beat a bunch of Big 12 teams last week. And look, Troy might be a competitive team. BYU should win. Like, no doubt about it. Like, BYU's ranked. They looked really good against Navy. Navy had a nice win today, coming back the biggest comeback in their program's history from a halftime deficit. Navy gets it done against Tulane, but BYU should beat Troy. But it's a team that's got some capable personnel, and there's some familiarity there too with Ryan Pugh, the former BYU offensive line coach back in 2018. He's the offensive coordinator for Troy, and last year they had a top 10 passing offense. So they're going to come into Provo not feeling scared at all.
I can't help but think about the Big 12. Oklahoma State today, they eked out a win over Tulsa, 16-7. They should have added BYU for just one season, no strings attached. You're not a member of the conference, but that conference is hurting. And if BYU looks to be the team that we think they will be, then that would have boosted the conference because that conference it's struggling. I mean, Texas looked good, but other than that, Texas and Oklahoma, I should say, but outside of that, it's been tough. Oklahoma State ranked 11, squeezes by Tulsa. Another opponent for BYU, Mitch, that has piqued my interest over the past few weeks, UTSA. They're up 10-0 right now over Stephen F. Austin. They play some fun football, and last week's game against Texas State was a crazy football game. I think UTSA and Texas State, for that matter, I don't think they'll beat BYU, but those will be actually, I think, interesting, entertaining football games.
Yeah, you're right. UTSA last week beat their in-state rival Texas State in double overtime. And again, like, there's talent across the board in college football. Like, every team is going to have some really good players at the top of their roster. It's the issue of depth, but particularly too in the trenches. Like, BYU is going to have a decisive advantage in the trenches against everyone they face this year. It's just not even going to be a debate. Other than maybe Houston, they got some pretty good personnel in their defensive line, but BYU will have massive size advantages over these teams that they're going to face this season. It poses a great opportunity for BYU to potentially run the table. But like you said, UTSA up on Stephen F. Austin 10-0. Some other teams that BYU is going to face this season that are in action coming up a little bit later today: Louisiana Tech, who BYU added on the schedule earlier this week. They're going to take on Southern Mississippi at 5:30 tonight. And Texas State, the Bobcats, who've already played two games. So big props to Texas State for getting to game number 3 today. They're going to take on Louisiana Monroe, 5:30 kick on ESPNU. Houston was supposed to play Baylor. That was going to be a really interesting game, but that game got postponed due to COVID-19. So a few games of note for Cougar fans to watch on this Saturday afternoon without any BYU football, sadly, here in the fall.
And let me just bring up two teams that I want BYU football to play here in 2020 that the door's not closed yet. Maybe Cincinnati's closed. Cincinnati, a top 15 team, they dominated Austin Peay 55-20. That's a team today on game day that I believe, I'm trying to remember who it was, it might have been David Pollack that had Cincinnati in the college football playoff. Yeah. So
he wants the playoff expanded, which I think would be great this year because of all the
craziness,
number of games played. I mean, give some not favoritism, but maybe a little bit of an edge over the Big Ten to these teams that started from week one and are trying to play 10 games. Like, give the AAC a shot to make the playoff. Like, expand it to eight teams. Why not this year? Please. Expand it.
That's a great point, just thinking about that, because I'm not pro expand the college football playoff. Yeah. I like it the way it is. But 2020, let's be creative. Throw it all out there. I might even be down for 16. Scrap the bowls or just have a couple meaningful ones, but expand that playoff and get a Cincinnati in there. Get, if Army goes undefeated, get them in there. Get, if Louisiana.
Get BYU in there.
Okay, well, yeah.
Get if it's a 16-team playoff. And
if
BYU
they were to go
undefeated,
yes,
they should be in that 16-team playoff. No questions asked.
That would be fun. I'm actually warming up to that idea. It's not going to happen because we've seen that none of these leagues have that much creativity, even though everyone would give them a free pass for 2020 to do anything. It's not going to happen, but that is a really interesting idea. I would love to see that, and it'd be a good little test to see what's great about it, what's not great about it, what impacts does it have for things that maybe you wouldn't have considered. I really like that idea, Mitch. Expand the playoff.
You know what would have been a nice idea, too, this year, Matt? Would have been Notre Dame having the courage to actually come out to Provo and play BYU. I know we harp on Notre Dame quite a bit here on the show, but they're rolling right now on South Florida, 35-0. Again, it's like, why play South Florida? Like, what was the point in playing the South Florida Bulls if you're Notre Dame? Like, why not play BYU, a team that would have come to South Bend and been ranked?
BYU has morals and they have standards and they want people to uphold their contracts. South Florida will just go there every couple years. They don't care.
Yeah, South Florida, I found out the details on that scheduling agreement. They're supposedly going to get a home and home with Notre Dame.
Bull but there's crap. No, they're not getting a home and home.
Exactly. There's no financial buyouts for Notre Dame if they were to cancel. So it's like, South Florida, this is a one and done. You're not going to get a return visit.
I'm seeing a trend here from Notre Dame. Hey, we'll do a home and home. Come to us first, and then we'll just back out of the rest of the deal.
Yeah, that's how it goes. The teams that are replacing BYU on network CBS right now: Appalachian State, number 23 in the country, playing Marshall. I mean, again, that game compared to BYU Army, it's just such a downgrade.
Don't bring it up. I'm just trying to move on and get ready for Troy, and you bring that up.
I know.
Appalachian State's on CBS. Hey, Mitch, we got a text here. We're piling on to Dallin's list of books he needs to read. If you missed it earlier, Dallin doesn't read, but we're gonna work on him. Texter 6557. I'm ashamed that we forgot this book when we were talking about it. Steve Young's book by Jeff Benedict.
Yeah.
How do we forget that?
QB. Yeah, that's
the Behind the Spiral.
Oh, Behind the Spiral. Yes, that is a fantastic book. Came out what, about five years ago?
You know what? It actually touches on all things. A little self help in there. A little sports. Behind the Spiral is. How did we forget that?
That's a bad mistake, but our texters on the KSL text line, they took care of us and made sure to remind us on that UCCU KSL text line. But we got to get out to an interview now, though, here, Matt. We've been talking a lot of basketball in this hour. BYU Hoops had a commitment earlier this week from a talented 6'8" prospect from Tippview High School, Jake Wallin. I caught up with him moments after he announced his decision to commit to BYU. Here's that interview here on KSL News Radio.
KSL News Radio, KSL Sports, and KSL 5 TV. The Mark Pope era at BYU has added another big-time addition on the recruiting trail in Tippview. Forward, guard, he could do it all pretty much. Jake Wallin has committed to BYU and joining me now to discuss his commitment to the BYU Cougars. Jake, first off, congrats on the decision. What went into this move to announce you're headed to BYU?
Yeah, I'd say Coach Pope really, I grew up a BYU fan. I grew up in Texas, but my dad played football there, and I had some brother-in-laws play there. But so I kind of grew up under that BYU blood. But Coach Pope really brought it out in me during this recruiting process, and he really made me want to go play for them Cougs. And yeah, I'm more excited than ever. I mean, it's gonna be a great ride.
Has BYU been a place that you've always looked at because of the family connections that you've viewed yourself wanting to go there?
Yeah, I'd say for sure it was. And then as recruiting kind of went on, I started to realize, hey, I've gotten a whole lot of other good options. But when it came down to it, I couldn't ignore that BYU blood in me. And it's surreal. I love it.
When you mentioned the options, who were some of those other schools that were in the mix for you?
Yeah, I'd say Arizona State, Utah State, San Diego State, Nevada. Those are some of those coaching staffs and programs that really came down to. And I love all those guys, but Coach Pope, I couldn't say no to.
You recently got the offer from BYU. Maybe take us back to that moment. Describe the opportunity that was getting that scholarship offer from the Cougs.
Yeah, we were just on a Zoom call with my parents and then the whole staff, and it got really, really not emotional, but I don't know. It was a really cool experience for everyone on it, because you could kind of feel that, you know, I belong with them and that I need to go into their hands, and it was a really cool experience like that. But I mean, I'm gonna remember that forever.
Talking with Jake Wallin here on KSL, and you mentioned the Zoom call. It's been an unprecedented time. It's cliche, we know that, but maybe just take us through this recruiting process amidst the pandemic.
Yeah. Let's see, since March, I was hoping and praying when all this quarantine stuff started up that we'd get some live periods with AAU throughout the summer, because that's like what everyone dreams of for their 17U experience, like their last ride, and we didn't get any of that. So I really made the most of it, and I got in the gym and just worked my hardest, because I knew a time would come where they'd be able to see me, whether it's online or in the gym, and it ended up being on film, on live streams. Recently in Dallas, we went down and played really well and beat a lot of really good teams, and that was my last ride, And I made the most of it, and it was a great experience.
You've been a guy that's been a little bit of a late bloomer in your high school career. How tall are you? What role do you see yourself playing at the collegiate level?
Yeah, I'd say I was a late bloomer, like you said. So I kind of grew later than most kids. But with that being said, I kind of was always I would always work on my ball handle, because I knew I'd get taller, and being able to handle it at that level with I'm 6'8" now. I'm still probably going up another inch, but I knew that's a huge thing to be able to dribble it like I can at that next level. And Coach Pope sees me as a 2 or even a 1. He tells me at times, and that's what I'm all about, and that's what I want to be at that next level. And then hopefully after BYU someday, my plan is to go play pro at whatever level, and that's going to be a huge asset for me. And that's one of the main things I would say.
And before you enroll at BYU, I know you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Do you plan to serve a mission?
Yep. I'm going to try and get out as soon as I can, hopefully in June, so I can get back as soon as I can and get back to work for the Cougars. So,
what do you make of this coaching staff? Every recruit that I've talked to since this staff came on board back in 2019, it's just been energy, relentless. They're up all nights, all hours of the day. What's been your impression of them?
Yeah. One of the main things that Pope has emphasized to me is, this will be the hardest thing I'll ever do, but it'll be the best thing I'll ever do, because him and his staff are all about the guys, and they make you a whole completely different man at the end of the day, and that's what I'm all about. And I mean, tons of life experiences, as long as improving at basketball, and I mean, on and off the court, it's gonna be a great experience.
What do you see for your upcoming senior year at Tempview?
Yeah, we've got the same team. I mean, we had no seniors last year, and we made it to the state championship. So it's not going to be easier, but we know that this is ours to take this year, and we're gonna put our head down and go take it with passion. And I mean, that's all I look forward to. So.
And I'm always curious too. You know, are there guys that you looked up to that maybe you modeled your game after growing up?
Not really that I model my. I mean, there's guys I model my game after, but as far as since I've moved here in eighth grade, watching all these. BYU's gotten three kids from Tempview, starting with Gavin Baxter, then Hunter Erickson and Nate Hansen, who I'm all really close with, and I've kind of gone through the program with them, looking down on me and kind of guiding me. But I'd say some of those guys I've really kind of always looked up to, and now that I'm in the same position as they are, it's amazing. I mean, I never thought I'd get here. So,
well, Jake, congrats on the commitment, and good luck this upcoming senior year at Tempview, and also your mission, and ultimately when you get to BYU.
Appreciate it. Go Cougs.
That was the newest BYU basketball commit, Jake Wallin. We'll get to another break here on a Cougar Sports Saturday and wrap up the show here on the other side. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.